Well, good to see everybody's out this morning. It has been some beautiful weather this week, and people have commented about it. Thank God for that. Might have been beautiful weather the next Saturday, but unfortunately. They're doing construction again at Carteret Park, and I thank Jules for a lot of work that she had already done in contacting people around and everything, but unfortunately, we're just not able to have the potluck at Carteret. That being said, we'll get into the lesson this morning, and today we're going to talk about giving. When I was talking with my uncle, I mentioned him in class this morning, uncle that I had not seen for a long time, but he was asking me about, you know, some questions about the church and about preaching and all of that kind of thing. And one of the comments had to do with giving and had to do with, you know, how much people put in the plate and how well I got paid for doing what I was doing. And so today is the day that I talk about you need to give more because I need more money. But no, that's not true. But we are going to talk about taking the collection. We're going to talk about giving, something that we just did a moment ago. And I want us to look at the idea of giving to the Lord this morning. If you were to turn to 1 Corinthians 16, and we'll mention this passage several times in our study this morning, it talks about members of the church supporting the work of the church. And we're going to really focus on that idea. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, there must have been a question asked of Paul about that, what we should do, what God wants us to do. And we'll come back to that passage, but he talks about our regular giving, our contribution, the collection we take, all of those terms that we use. As members of the church, and we don't solicit people, you'll hear people, for example, make comments when they're up here sometimes about, this is for our members here. If you're visiting, you can always feel free to do whatever you want to do, but this is not something we're trying to in any way persuade you to do, because this is something we do. We support the local work here. And God calls on members of the local church to support the Lord's work. That's what we're called to do. And I think that passage teaches that. We'll emphasize that in just a moment. But we are to contribute on the first day of the week, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, into what he talks about as the church treasury. And I'll come back to look at that in just a moment. Let each of you, Paul says. Now concerning the collection of the saints, let each of you lay by him in store, to quote the King James. But it's the idea of it being each individual Christian or each individual member's responsibility. This is something that God puts upon us. It is in keeping with things that God says throughout the Bible. For example, Marvin read from 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 17. As each individual Christian purposes in his heart. You don't see on the back of the pews, you see a visitor's card, but you don't see a contribution pledge. I'm going to put a picture of that up in just a moment. But, and in fact, in seminary, I was taught that and how important it is. If you want to take in the maximum amount of money, if you want to really encourage all the building and growth that can happen when people give as they can give and they should give, then you want people to pledge to do that. Some churches will even go so far as to almost tax the members, where they will discuss with the member, what can you give and how much can you regularly give and all of that kind of thing. We don't do that. And the reason we don't do that, and if you are visiting with us and you were to become a member here, it would still be, as those baskets you saw being passed around, as they are passed around, it will still be left to you to have purposed in your heart, perhaps with, you know, if you're married, your husband, you and your husband or wife will discuss this, but to purpose in your heart what you're going to give, to decide what you will give. No one is going to come to you and police that. No one's going to tap you on the shoulder and say, we need to talk to you. You only put in a check for X amount of dollars, you know, this morning. No one's going to do that. That's left to each of you, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16. But we do teach. And I would teach from passages like Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Let me read that together with you. Honor the Lord, he says, with your substance, with your stuff, with what you have. Because we recognize from other passages that God has given that to us. I think that was said this morning. God has given it to us to live by. But then we should in turn honor God with that. And really not just in what we give on Sunday, but every day. If God has blessed me with a home and He's blessed me with goods, if He's blessed me with things or stuff in this life, I want to honor Him with what I have. Honor God with your substance, he says, and with the first fruits of all your increase. Notice that. The first fruits. In the Jewish feast, there was really a first and second harvest. Anybody that's a farmer knows when you plant crops, you're going to plant what's known as early crops, and there's going to be a yield that comes in very early. For example, a lot of things will germinate, bloom, and even grow to maturity by June, especially around here. Down in Alabama, depending on the weather, that can come as early as Mother's Day. You can have some ripe vegetables and fruits. Again, depending on the weather. But there's an early harvest, and this speaks of the first fruits. And it speaks of a mindset that what I want to do, if God has blessed me, is I want to give back to God first. When I write out, and I have for years and years and years now, when I sit down and I do a budget, and I hope you are in the habit of doing that, and I make a list of my expenses, quote unquote, I try at the very beginning to think in terms of, right off the top, is going to come this amount of money because this is, and I've had discussions with Montel, you know, what do you think about this? How do you feel about that? How much do you want to give, et cetera, et cetera. But once we arrive at that in the budget, there's a line item. It goes to God. It belongs to God. It's not left over. It's not, if I have it, I'll give. It goes to God. And the Bible teaches that. We could go back to Exodus 23 and see the same kind of thing, or we could turn to Malachi. Let's go to Malachi 3. And how God, almost in closing out the Old Testament, asked a question of the Jews. And if you look at the context in the book of Malachi, they were not very giving at this point. In fact, they were not honoring God. They were not giving of the first fruits. They were, in fact, giving the least amount they could. You know, if they knew they had to sacrifice an animal, let me go out and find the ugliest, you know, most beat up animal I can find. Maybe one that's blind, one that's scrawny, whatever it might be. And let's kill and burn that one, you know. And God asks the question in verse 8 of chapter 3, will a man rob God? And he will. I mean, people will rob God. And they don't just rob God of their money. In fact, he goes on to answer. He says, you're going to ask me, in what have we robbed you? And I'm going to tell you in tithes and offerings. Because that was what they were supposed to purpose. That was according to the law of Moses. It was a tithe. It went to support the priests, for example. And there were various offerings they were supposed to give. But that being the law of God, they were supposed to purpose in their heart that belongs to God. Now, some of them can get very pharisaical about it. And that was fine. You remember Jesus making the point, if you've got a spice plant in the corner, you get on your knees and you count every tenth leaf, you know, that's fine. Do that. If you want to be that meticulous about it, do that, but don't leave the big things undone. Because what's in your heart is equally important. And when you come to the New Testament, what's in your heart becomes the first thing you do in giving. In fact, we could read in 2 Corinthians 8, and I think it's verse 5 there, and I started to include this, but just thought I'd quote it. They first gave of themselves to the Lord. When you honor God with all that you have, it's not hard then to give. And you'll find a Christian wanting to give, and in fact, the more they have, the more they will give. I didn't know this person, you know, I didn't know this individual personally, But back in the 80s, a friend of mine did. And this guy had become very rich. In fact, he was kind of a surfer bum, as he would have called himself. But he developed, I think, something to do with surfboards, and I'm not big into surfing, so I don't know. But he made a fortune off of that. And my friend was saying that he knew for a fact this guy gave about 90% off the top. 90%. But you know, I thought about it. I was thinking about it last night. Suppose God were to come to me and make a deal, okay? God were to say, Michael, you make X amount of dollars now, but I tell you what, I'm going to give you $1 million a year. But if I give you $1 million a year, would you give me $800,000 back? Yeah, I think about that. I'm thinking, man, $800,000, that's a lot. And then I get to think, wait a minute, I'm going to clear $200,000. That's a good deal. You know, the point is, we're not looking at it as a deal, are we? We're looking at it as a blessing from God. And that's what God is saying here. And so God says in verse 9, notice this. You're cursed with a curse. I'm mad, is what God is saying. And I curse you because you robbed me. Even this whole nation is robbing me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now that word storehouse is the word treasury. It's very much like the lay by him in store in 1 Corinthians 16, although this is a Hebrew word and that's a Greek word, but it's very much the same idea. So the idea of bring your tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me, test me in doing that. And then he goes on to say, If I won't open to you the windows of heaven and pour out unto you a blessing that there wouldn't be room to receive it. In other words, what God is saying is, if you put me first, do you think that I can't bless you? I mean, would you rob me? Would you hold back from giving to me and to my work? And then again, in this case, the tithes to support the priests and the temple and all that. Would you hold that back because, wow, if I give this to God, I may not have enough to live. Don't you think I can bless you? Don't you think that I can cover anything you're willing to give? Don't you think I have that ability? I have that power? And that's what God is saying in verse 11. He says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. I'll destroy the fruits of your ground, etc. Because you won't. But if you just trust me. Here is the idea of putting God first. That's what Jesus was commending in Mark 12. It's not how much. And when you come to the New Testament, it's not that, and how many times over the years I've been asked this question, does God demand a tithe or a 10%? Or does God, you know, some would even go so far as to, you know, quote Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, your righteousness must exceed that of the Jews. How much did the Jews give? We need to do better than that. So some people will actually purpose 11% because the Jews gave 10, you know. It's not that. It is like the widow trusting God and putting God first. It's not how little do I give that I get by, that I satisfy the law. You're not going to find a percentage in the New Testament. What you're going to find is that God wants us to have knowledge of the work of His church. You need to know what's going on here. In fact, we posted out there on the bulletin board, and James, are you I heard that you were responsible for cleaning all that up out there, making it look so nice. If not, I'll give him credit, but whoever should get the credit, tell me and I'll give you credit. But it looks good. But take a moment. Go out there and read what we're doing. Read where the money goes. And that's the idea. I need to know what the church is doing. I need to be part of the work that we're doing. I need to support what we're doing. I need to be a person. Now, there's a lot of giving that comes in addition to that, but we're not talking about that this morning. We're talking about what we do here when the basket comes around and why we do what we do. We're talking about through the collection that we take up, how we, as members of the church, unite together. It's all our work. If like the widow, if you have so little that you're dropping pennies in the basket, but those pennies are a lot to you. If it's like the man that I was talking about earlier, and you're very, very rich. And you're putting a huge percentage in the basket. You know how God sees all of that? The pennies and the thousands. God sees it equally. In fact, what Jesus was doing in Mark 12 was pointing out, when you give everything you can give, God blesses that. He honors that. Can you imagine the Son of God sitting over watching everybody give? And you should imagine that, because that's just what He was doing this morning. He watched as we all gave. And He considered, because He knows all of our lives and all of our abilities, He considered what we gave. And I would venture to say that in any group like this, or certainly in the Christians all around the world, there are people that fit every description, including those in Mark 12. There are people that throw in a lot of money, but it really is just excess. They're not really giving in that sense. It's not really sacrificial. There are corporations, for example, that write checks for millions of dollars every day, and they don't even miss it. They don't think about it. It's a tax write-off, and the accountant fools with that. I don't think about it, you know. But the point is, there are other people in every congregation around the world, and when they're giving a dollar, it hurts. But they're trusting God, and they're laying it in there, just like the widow was. She's casting in everything she had because she trusted God. And there are people that I would feel safe in saying that gave this morning, knowing if they gave, they may not eat tomorrow. But it was more important to give to God than to eat. And I would venture to say, according to what the Lord teaches, God will make sure they have enough to eat. Because they're putting God first, and that's the idea. True worshipers fellowship in their giving. When we come together and we all lay it in the basket, and then you see those guys go to the back room and they put it in the box back there and lock it up, and then people will go back and count it and deposit it into our treasury, which is a bank account. But when that happens, there's an amount of money in which we all have shared in the giving. We all mutually contribute. That's the way God sees it. We equally take part because each of us purposes in our heart to do that, according to our ability, our prosperity. And once it's collected, now we have this treasury that can support the work at East Orange. The giving, we call it a contribution because we contribute. We call it a collection because we collect it and put it into the treasury. It's not a tithe like the Old Testament. It's not a tax like in the Old Testament, the temple tax, or like some churches do today, in taxing their members. No one is going to come around to you and say, Michael, you make X amount of dollars, you can give X amount of dollars. Nobody's doing that. No, Montel and I are sitting down and saying, what can we do? And this is how much we give. And we do that in the sense of what we give here, and we do that even beyond what we individually give, beyond what we give here. The idea is, we all do that. It's our decision, and it's your decision, as He purposes in His heart. 1 Corinthians 16. According as He has been prospered. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And so God would have us to make that decision, that individual giving from the heart, because we are true worshipers. We worship in spirit and in truth. Let's talk about it for a moment. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. Now, concerning the collection, we've talked about it. We gather it. We collect it. Notice it is a collection for the saints. This is not your individual giving. This is not the giving that you do when you see someone is in need. There may be a guy you may go to Stop and Shop any day this week. More than likely, you will find someone out there asking for money. Now it becomes your decision. Do you want to give money to that person? Do you want to feed that person? That's your decision. We're not talking about that kind of giving. We're talking about this regular contribution. That's what he was being asked about in 1 Corinthians 16. That's what he's talking about. So concerning the collection, and then notice the phrase, for the saints. All the money that is collected when the baskets came around, and you should understand this, it is collected, it is put into a treasury, and then it is used for the saints, for the members of the church. If you want to see how it individually breaks down, it's written on the bulletin board back there. Kenny puts that up. He's the treasurer. He makes out the treasurer's report. We just got through having a business meeting last week, and there's a breakdown line item by line item accounting for every penny that comes in and every penny that goes out, literally. Because you and I have to be stewards of that money. We have to be accountable to God to know that this is collected for the saints, like Paul said, and we're doing it on the first day of the week. I can well remember growing up and going to church, and a lot of you probably can too. If we had a revival and it went on 7 days, there was a collection every day. And in fact, just like, you know, I was being asked a couple of weeks ago, you know, I mean, sometimes a visiting preacher would be there and the plea would be made, if you want this guy to get paid, if you think he's doing a good job, you got to give a little more tonight, you know. That's not what God teaches us to do. God teaches us on the first day of the week, notice, let every one of you, each individual one of us, lay by him in store. Now that's King James language, but what does it mean? It means given to the treasury. Think about the situation in Mark 12. Jesus sat in the temple and watched them come by and throw money into a box, into a treasury. That's what we're literally doing. Now here, of course, we put it in the basket. It's counted back there. A deposit slip is written out and it goes into a local bank. And I can't for the life of me, we just switch banks. But Kenny would know the bank that we switched to. But it goes into the bank, it's in the treasury, is the point. Every one of you lay by him in store. Now it's in a treasury. And we have to then decide, according to what God teaches, what we're going to do with that. And I want to talk a little bit about that. But first of all, let's emphasize this. We insist in collecting funds only by voluntary contributions. What does that mean? It's given each first day of the week and only the first day of the week. If you come back Wednesday night, we have Wednesday night Bible study, you won't even hear collection or giving or contribution or baskets mentioned. Because it's not the first day of the week. We do that only today because it's what Paul said. It's maintained in a treasury. You are privy to know where the treasury is at all times. You are privy to know exactly how much money is in the treasury. And since we do a budget each January here, you're privy to know exactly what we designate the money to go for. And if that changes, in other words, if we decide to put in, you know, new stairs and a railing and doors are coming, if we do that, we will decide that in a business meeting, and every male member here is welcome to come to that, and women are welcome to give their input into that. The members here join in that. We are being stewards of God's money and trying to use it for the saints. It's used in the work of the church, and it's not used for anything else. I get calls from time to time when people will say, and I did this past week, we like to come to your church and make this presentation. And I usually just say something like, we don't do anything like that. To which I usually get a what? You know, type response. And the lady gave me a what? And I said, well, we don't do anything at our church like that. Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Click. But we don't. We don't have special presentations and special drives and all that kind of thing. Someone is not going to come here next Sunday or whenever it might be and solicit you to dig deeper into your pocket and give to whatever organization they're representing. That's not what God teaches us to do. We take the money in, we purpose how much we will give, it's put into a treasury, it's used for the work of the church. It's voluntary. Again, you see the basket. Now, I purposely put this basket in there, and you'll notice, if you can see that, and I hope you can, that little white envelope. Those are pledge envelopes. They are envelopes that basically you're fulfilling a pledge there. And it's accountable. We don't do that kind of thing here. You write a check or you put cash in the basket. If you want it to be totally anonymous, put the cash in the basket and leave it at that. You want to write a check, that's fine. I don't go back there and ask whoever counts. In fact, I don't even know who's going to be counting the money today. But I don't go back there and stand over them and say, hey, how much did Brother So-and-so give? Was that how much he gave last week? Nobody is doing that. No one is going to do that. We don't ask questions, and if anybody shares that information, I'm not aware of it. In other words, it's counted back there, it's deposited into the bank, it's forgotten, it's between you and God. And it's used for the Lord's work. There's no high pressure. There's none of the things that elicit all the jokes like, you know, do you preach a lot about giving so you get paid more? No. I preach about giving. I get paid what we determine to pay me, you know. But there's none of that that elicits all those jokes about it. It's something between the person and God as God has prospered it. Now let's talk about our work. It is a fellowship. We all share in it. Notice as Paul is talking about concerning the collection for the saints. That's a term that's related to the idea of fellowship. It's a collection for the saints. It's maintained in a treasury. And we participate. Again, a term that relates to fellowship. We all share. We participate in basically three exclusive areas. And we only use these terms just to show you the different things we do. It's very limited. We don't do a whole lot of things that the world does. And I want you to hear this and please listen carefully. We don't do this as a church. We don't do this as a collective. It doesn't mean we don't do these things. A person says, for example, well, don't you give to the poor? Yeah. I do, and I happen to know a number of people here who give a whole lot to poor people. But it's not what the Lord is teaching us to do with that treasury money. And I mean the poor out there in the world at large. Don't you care about this organization or that? Yes, we do. And we individuals do a lot, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the New Testament and what it teaches us to do with the money in the treasury. So let's look at that. It's very simple. When we talk about that money collected, and you can look at 1 Corinthians 16, and you can even notice that it was in a context of talking about work that the church needed to be doing. In other words, Paul is talking about money being collected, and then he is going to come, or perhaps send others, but they are going to come by and they're going to say, how much can you give to this work that the church at Corinth needs to be doing? And that's exactly the reason for the money being collected, to do that kind of work. So it falls into three areas. Edification. And we can see that in Ephesians 4, the idea of the body edifying itself is the idea. And money is involved. Now come back and talk about that specifically. And benevolence, just doing good. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. And then there is, of course, evangelism, which literally means gospelizing. That is, teaching the gospel. Now when we look at these three areas, we spend money on all three things. And all three things we can see in the New Testament. For example, what is edification? Well, building up each other in the faith. Does that cost money? Yeah. In order for us to be gathered here this morning, there had to be a building. And that building, they don't just give them away for free. You don't go down to the mayor's office and say, we're going to start meeting as a church. You got a building available. They don't do that. You got to buy it. And once you buy it, you got to maintain it. Steps crumble, stairs crumble, whatever you call that out there, staircase, they start crumbling. You got to put a new one in there. It costs money. And so part of the money we collect goes for the church building. The lights that are on this morning, you know, they're paid for with money. We all understand that. The building was bought years ago, but it has to be maintained. You have preachers. You got one standing up here preaching this morning. He's paid. You know, he earns a salary. Part of the money goes for that. And in our case here, we have two of them here. And so money is paid. You sang this morning and you used a songbook. The numbers over there on the board. Turn to page so-and-so. Songbooks cost money. And we spend money out of the treasury for that. And class material, you know, that we use. For example, sometimes we buy these colorful things for the children and all of that. It costs money. When we took the Lord's Supper, grape juice and crackers, they don't cost a lot, but they cost money. And all those little cups in there. You understand the point. It goes on and on and on and on. But in order for us to come together and build each other up in the faith, money is spent. And from time to time, we have needy saints. Think about in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the idea is for the saints and for those who are needy. Now, a person might say, well, we're all needy. Yeah, we are. But God blesses us, and we have the means for food, shelter, and clothing. But that's not always the case with every brother and sister. From time to time, we have to meet together, and we have to say, you know, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, they can't pay their bills right now. They need help right now. And we need to help them. And what are we basing that on? Two things. One, they're saints. What is a saint? A holy one. A Christian. And they have to be Christians. And number two, they're needy. And truly needy. And Wes talked about it last Sunday night a little bit. You know, if my mother, and I talked with my mother this when I was at home, we're talking about the fact that she's some older. And it may get to the point where, like a whole lot of you, you know, mom has got to move in and be taken care of. And that's the way it goes. And one of these days, and I look forward to this, I may have to move in with Jules and Marvin and they may have to take care of me. No, seriously. But in that case, we wouldn't need to come to the church and say, hey, y'all got to take care of me. Because we have family to do that. But no, in this case, we're talking about someone who can't do that. And we're talking about someone, a Christian, who is really needy. And that happens. And sometimes it happens that a member of another church has some big medical need or whatever it might be, and they can't meet that. In other words, they just don't have enough money, you know, to help. And so they go to other churches. And we see examples of that. Acts 11 is an example of that, where they did exactly that. And then there is the evangelism. And usually we make the distinction, although the New Testament does not always make this distinction. But to keep it straight in our heads, we kind of put preachers and preaching to the local congregation and under edification and, you know, missionaries and people that go out to the lost or go to another country under evangelism. Now again, that overlaps. So you notice I ask in the bulletin, does this ever overlap? Well, here'd be a case where it does. But it's the idea of the responsibility we have to teach the lost. And that can be a simple little thing, the tract rack. We bought those tracts with money out of the treasury. If you pull one of those tracts out and you give it to your neighbor to help teach them, you know, why am I a member of the Church of Christ type thing, that's evangelism. Or if we take, you know, we go out as Brother Barrett was talking about in a couple of our next Saturday, I guess is the time. And we use materials. Maybe we leave a tract or we, you know, we leave some piece of literature or whatever. Well, we bought that to do just that. And so it's evangelism, preaching the gospel to the lost. But that's it. That's what we do. In other words, when you look up here, you'll notice how different that really is from the world. So, sometimes people will say, so you don't have any raffles? No. Y'all don't play bingo? No. You don't wash cars and raise money? No. Well, what do? We pass around baskets, and people have purpose in their heart, and they give their money to the Lord. And sometimes people are inclined to say, and you get enough that way? And the truth is, we really do. You know, we get enough that way. Well, what do you do with it? This is what we do. The church edifies itself. We build each other up in the faith, and we use the funds we need to use for that. Sometimes we have Christians who are in need. In other words, they're in a dire situation. They need to be helped, and we do that. And we're always trying to do what we can to teach the lost. And sometimes we spend money for that. That's what we do as the church. So when we're talking about our giving, that's what we do. Why do we go to church? You know, giving is part of going to church. Giving is part of worshiping the Lord. So what do we do when we go to church? Why do we assemble? Three major reasons in the New Testament. You've seen this often. To worship. I may not always think of putting money in the basket at worshiping God, but it is. Because worship is honoring the Lord. And that's what we started with, isn't it? Honor the Lord with your substance. Part of the money you have in your pocketbook or your wallet or whatever it might be is what you have. It's yours. And you are going to purpose in your heart what of that you will give to the Lord and to His work. That's worship. It may not be the emotional, it might be very emotional for you, you know, but it might not be the emotional thing where I'm moved like I was during the Lord's Supper or in singing a beautiful song of praise to God, but it's worship. It's honoring God. It is to edify. And yeah, giving is edifying. Because of the money I give and that you give, we're able to meet in this beautiful place. And it's comfortable. It may be 100 degrees outside, but if the air is working properly, it's, you know, I don't really think about it while I'm inside here. It's cool, it's nice, it feels good. But I'm able to concentrate my mind on the faith. And that's what God would have. And yes, it is to encourage one another. And am I encouraging someone when I give? Oh, yeah. The fact that we can, and we look at the numbers that go up on the board. Have you ever been just, you know, have you ever thought about that and been amazed that so consistently, and it will run in a range, but you get a group of people together every Sunday, and it's a little bit different. You know, everybody's not here this morning that might be here next Sunday morning, etc., but the numbers are pretty much always there, aren't they? Every now and then it dips down, and every now and then it rises above, but it kind of settles in a general range. No one planned that, in the sense that no one went around and took a tally of how much could be given. I find that very encouraging. That people come together, and out of their heart, they purpose to give to God, and so we have this ability to have this place to come together and to worship God. That's very encouraging. So I ask the question, even in our giving this morning, have we accomplished that today? If you're here today and you're not a Christian, and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if this morning you'd be willing to confess that, to change your life and live your life for the Lord, to repent, and you'll be baptized to have your sins washed away, you'll be a child of God. You'll be part of the Lord's church. And you can place membership here and be part of this church and this work at this place. Won't you please come while we stand and sing?